deal. And we're having this exam because I told you my major was accounting business before. So all my classmates were from the business major too, because it's not a pre-med program for this biology. The professor gave us a pretty tough exam, even though it was for biology 101. But then he was a very nice guy, so he said, I'm going to give you extra credit so that give you more hope and score. I don't know, your teachers give you extra credit? It would be nice. So I was working on the exam. It was not too bad. I could handle it. But the whole class was kind of moaning and groaning, kind of like, oh, what are we going to do? Until they got to the extra credit question, the whole class cheered. Said, oh, he's just a nice guy. We nail it. The extra credit question worth 25 points. And don't laugh. I don't see you can answer this extra credit question. Biology 101. He said, name the person, the true name of Superman. I sit in there like, I said, what kind of question is this? What does that have to do with biology 101? And I had no idea. I was sitting there. And of course, I had no problem with the exam itself. And when I got to that question, your jealousy or whatever, that all comes up. I look around like, it's no fair. And then the guy next to me, he said, you don't know Superman's name? I said, I don't. He said, so finally he said, I give it to you. And I said, no, that's cheating. He said, okay, I'll write it down here. You can look at it. Look at it. Do you know who Superman's real name? Clark Kent. Okay, we have some Americans here. Now, those of you shaking your head, you're not true Americans. Because, look, how would I know? And for some reason, people love superheroes. I don't know. Superman may not be your favorite superhero. Some of you may like Hulk. No? Spider-Man? It's got to be, right? Spider-Man. I see some people nodding. Captain America? Yeah. Even though he's turning to be a bad guy now, right? Well, I had a superhero too, but it's just, I love Batman. How many people like Batman here? Yeah. But I wouldn't know Batman's real name. Who cares? But anyway, I was kind of wondering, why do we love a superhero so much? And the movie plot is so typical. You can write your own plot. It's always that you have this superhero that are very strong and powerful. It gives you a sense of security. And because we all face life challenges and threats that is bigger than we can handle. We feel powerless. A lot of time, you all face uncertainties, hardships. Recently, the terrorist attack is a severe threat to the safety of the society. Social justice. You wish that you have a saying on this legislation that they are going on in the Senate and the Congress, but you can't. And then you have persecutions, rejections, betrayal, bullying. All these things going on here, that we are longing for a superpower to come in here and become our refuge and protection. And someone who have a high moral, like who cares, and they can correct everything from wrong to the right. And then all the superheroes, they all have something in common, which is that in addition to the superpower that they have, they all have a private identity, right? Because a Superman, Clark Kent, those true Americans here, you know what Clark Kent's real job is other than flying around? Reporter. Who's that smart guy over there? All right. How about Batman? What does he do other than being a Batman? He's a criminal psychologist. So some of you that you want to study criminal science, one day you may become Batman yourself. Spider-Man, what does Spider-Man do? It's a photographer, right? Something like that. And they all have a private identity that you can relate to. He's like a person that you could, somebody you can run into every single day in a society, because you don't feel as much super appreciation if you get saved by a robot, by the traffic light, by a supercomputer. You can relate to this superhero because they seem to be just like one of us. And then there's always a super evil guy to come and stir up the pot, causing a lot of threats to our safety, a lot of problems, killing people. And we don't know what to do with this super bad guy. And we know that the superhero knows about it because the superhero lives in the same society. So we don't have to tell him. He knows it. And we know that he's compassionate and he cares. It's just a matter of time when he's going to show up to take this threat away from us, so that in the meantime, we are all pondering when this superhero is going to come. How long that we have to suffer? And those of you watching this superhero movie, then you have your blood boiling and said, how long do you have to wait? Right, because it's a 100-minute movie and now it's the 90th minute. Where's the Superman? And then this superhero, at the right time, in the fullness of time, will put a power outfit on and show up and overcome the evils, take your problem away and say, sayonara. And until your next crisis, he will see you again. It's so typical. I can write a script myself. I don't think the Hollywood needs a script for it. They probably have just a superhero script and just poet and plug a name in there. And we can find a thrill and we enjoy it every single time. I think that that tells us several realities. The first reality is that we have a need here, deep down in our soul, that we all long for a savior, somebody that we can relate. Deep down in our heart, in our soul, that we know that life is tough. Life is very tough. We are living in a crooked and corrupted world, and we are corrupted too. So, and we are longing for a higher moral values. We all want to see justices. We all want to love, and we all want to be loved. And most of all, I think most of us, if not all of us, that we are all longing for something greater than we all can already see in this world. Something that much greater than the present life and the world can offer to us. Something that's transcendent. And this everything will be in this superhero that we could relate to, that we can have some kind of a carrier's effect. The only problem is that all these superheroes are fantasies. They're man-made. They're not real. You go to the superhero movies, you can have a relief and thrill for 100 minutes, maybe 120. They make the movie super long. When you walk out of the theater, you go back to your real world, your problem's still sitting there waiting for you. And that's why Christmas is so good, because the gospel, it means good news. The good news is that there is a true Savior. There's a true Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has already come to save us. I think our worship team already reminded us that 2,000 some odd years ago, about the same time, Jesus Christ came. And this is the good thing about Jesus Christ, that he's a true Savior. He's real. He's not a fiction. And what he could do and what he has done is much more superior to all the man-made superheroes in many, many ways. We can go to today's text, Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go to nine first verse. Okay, our superstar AV team. Here, okay. Let's read this verse together. 1, 2, 3. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee, the nations. Now, let me explain you the background of this verse. We talked about it last time, just in case some of you were not here. The nation of Judah and King Ahaz, they were facing a crisis it's threatening situation. It's very bad. Now, we all have our own problems. Your problem could be that you have an exam coming up that you have not studied yet. You have a difficult relationship, you don't know what to do with it. Or you have your friends, your very close friends, all of a sudden they are not talking to you. You're being shut out from your inner, from the inner circle. That is your problem, is your worry, or me cannot pay your bills. But Judah and King Ahaz, they have a different problem. I could say that they have a bigger problem. They're worrying about the nation being invaded by a superpower at that time, Assyria. It's a life and threat situation. What is happening here is that there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. Who is her? The her was the northern nation, Israel. About a decade ago, Israel, the northern nation, lined up with Syria and trying to invade Judah. In chapter 7, we talk about it already, and God already told King Ahaz at the time, don't worry, I'll take care of you. This threat would cause no harm to you. I allow it to happen because you sinned against me. I'm allowing them to happen to wake you up. But King Ahaz would not believe that. He used human wisdom. He used his own diplomatic maneuver to bring in, to ask for help from a faraway nation called Assyria, who is much stronger, come out to help him to defeat Israel and Syria. And Assyria took his gift as a down payment, and they did good on the promise. They came and wiped out Syria almost immediately, and within 10 years, around 10 years later, he also invaded the northern nation, Israel. And that's the land of Naphtali and Zebulun. And that has already took place. And what is God telling Ahaz at the time? That now he's worrying about Assyria itself. Now he brought in this, he took care of a smaller problem, but now one put himself into a bigger problem. Assyria wants more than their annual tribute. Assyria, after they conquer Syria and Israel, now they're looking to gobble up Judah. Ahaz and the people knew about it. And God spoke to them and gave them a promise, say, don't worry. In the past, in the former time, the contempt has been brought to the northern nation Israel. You saw that because they sinned against me and they try to sin against you. But in the latter time, that this land will be recovered and they will be able to see light. They will be able to see glory. Now, and that is the promise of safety to King Ahaz. And then on verse 2-5, King gives them additional assurance. Okay, let's go to verse 2-5. Okay, well, it's kind of hard for you to read, but let's try. Okay, 1, 2, 3. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has... You have multiplied the nations, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are gold when they divided the spoil, for the yoke of the burden, and the staff of the soldier, the rod of his oppressor. You have broken it as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trembling warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment robed in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Yeah. Basically, these few verses is assurance to King Ahaz and the people in Judah and saying, God has a plan. And the plan is to restore peace and joy to the land. You'll be able to rejoice. There will be no more warfare. The thing that you use to fight each other, to kill each other, will be used for something, some better use, some peaceful use. The every boot of the trembling warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment robed in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. No more use for warfare. Things will be okay. Is it the same God talking to you? This is the same God who raised up Gideon to defeat Midianites. It is the same God that will come, that will promise you that will there will be peace. The reason for that is because there will be a savior will be given you. The next verse is very important. Isaiah 9:6. Okay, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now this is a very familiar verse to most of the people growing up at the church. And we will spend a lot of time studying this verse for this Christmas season. God said, I'm going to promise you peace in front of this threat. You don't have to worry about it. You're moaning, you're lost in sorrow. I'll promise you there will be joy. And the reason for that is because it's a Savior, the Messiah, will be given to you as a child. For to us as a child is born, a son is given. And this child is not an ordinary child. The government shall be upon his shoulder. So this child is going to be a king, a royal king. And then his name will be sent, the function and the character this person is going to do, a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. We always talk about Wonderful Counselor last time. I can also tell you that this prophecies has been partially fulfilled already. Okay, and I want to give you some background. For example, when God promised them the peace and not to worry about their formidable foreign threat, that was kind of fulfilled in King Hezekiah's time. That when you go back and read your Bible in 2 Kings, at one time, the Assyrian king sent a huge army to besiege Jerusalem and asking King Hezekiah, and King Hezekiah, by the way, is the son of King Ahaz, and ask him to surrender. God sent angels overnight, wipe up this army. According to the Bible, 180,000 people got killed mysteriously in one night. The Bible said God sent angels to kill them, strike them down. In the official historical writings, not in the Bible, but historical writings, it recorded that the Assyrian army suffered heavy, mysterious loss in one night. They didn't know what happened. They thought it may be a plague, maybe something happened, that most of the army got, they lost their life, they died. They could not explain it. So the prophecy is partially fulfilled. Now, according to the Jews, that the child is born, to a son is given, they interpret this as King Hezekiah. And that's why the Jews would not accept that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They believe in this promise, but they believe that it's already fulfilled in King Hezekiah. But of course, as a Christian, when we study the Bible, put everything together, we know that this prophecy, the true fulfillment of this prophecy, should not be King Hezekiah if we continue to study this Bible verse. But anyway, God said, I will promise you a Messiah. And this Messiah is a Wonderful Counselor. We talked about it last time already. Jesus Christ is our Wonderful Counselor because he understands our problems. And he has come to restore our perspective. He will tell us that your problem is not as big as you perceive. Our problem is, a lot of times, it's not even a problem if you trust in God, because God can turn all your problems into blessings. Do you believe that God can do that? God can actually turn all your problems into blessings. God allowed them to happen for reasons and blessings in different ways. You might have a conflict, but this conflict turned out to help the spouses to know each other to a deeper level. It's a blessing. You might face a huge defeat, a failed exam, or you might lose a job, but during the process, you have the time to reflect that what you have done and how you can improve yourself in the future to be a more responsible person, or God opened a better door for you, that's a blessing. And God is very capable of doing that. And Jesus Christ, a wonderful counselor, will help us to put everything in perspective and say, the problem is actually not as big. And some people is saddening. So today, some people, they commit suicide because they failed the exam or they get bullied in school. And I could appreciate the hardship they have gone through, because at first I couldn't, because kind of like, bullying, now it's going to go to online bullying now. How can you bully somebody online? I just turn it off. You can't bully me. I used to be bullied when I was small, okay, because I was very small. My nickname was Little Boy. People pushed me to the puddle, throw mud at me, throw rock at me, and I couldn't even tell people until my mom found out and dragged me to the principal's office and want justice. And I felt so embarrassed that a boy needs his mom to come and ask for justice. You cannot fight your way out. But that was physical bullying. I couldn't, because those guys are bigger than me. They're like 5-6 of them. I'll get killed. But how can you get online bullying? But then I realized that how that works today, because our social circle is so different right now. Our emotional hurt could be inflicted in different way. But then in Jesus Christ, he can tell you, look, this is no big deal. Just turn off the social media, get a new name. Get a new online name, meet some new people. And Jesus said, I'll be your peace. There's so many, many ways that God can help you that we don't even know. In Jesus Christ, we can find hope. Yes, it's a real loss. I cannot say that if my dad, my mom passed away, I cannot discount that. I try to. I still remember when I saw my dad lying in the coffin, I still hallucinated, actually, he's breathing. But I realized that when you look at heart enough and you think he's breathing, it looks to you that he seems to be breathing. The reality sank in until he got cremated, and then I knew that he's no longer here. But then in Jesus Christ, it's always hope. That's a wonderful counselor. But without listening to a wonderful counselor, we try to fix the problems on our own, we always create a bigger problem. The people love to use a term called kicking the can down the road. I don't want to deal with it right now. You kick it down the road, it become a bigger problem. And that's how our nation is facing such a huge deficit right now. And King Ahaz is a good example. He tried to use human wisdom to solve his problem. He would not trust in the Lord. So he found a newfound ally in Assyria to take care of his immediate threat. And his solution turned out to be a life-threatening problem for him. But this promised Messiah is more than a wonderful counselor, more than giving you advice, more than telling you, giving you a bigger picture, more than restoring your perspective. This promised Messiah is mighty God. What does that mean? The mighty God, that means he can actually take care of your problem. Jesus is mighty God, taking the form of human flesh. Like the Bible said, behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with you all the time. And Emmanuel in Jesus, and Jesus said, I and the Father are one. He is God, and he's here with us. Now, another way that this prophecy, according to Jesus Christ, was fulfilled, when he went up to Galilee to preach the gospel, in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 13 to 16, it recorded that Jesus went up to Galilee. He went to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and he was preaching in the synagogue. And he took the scroll at the time they were reading Isaiah chapter 9, and he was reading it, and he said, I am the fulfillment. How so? Because Isaiah 9:1, I want to bring it back your attention here, is that in a former time, God brought shame to this land. But now, this land is going to see the glorious light. The light has already shined on this land. Now, Jesus is the light. So when Jesus went to Galilee, went to this particular land to preach the gospel, these people, they were able to see the light and by their own eyes the first time. And Jesus, after his resurrection, he also went up to Galilee. People keep asking, why did Jesus go up to Galilee after his resurrection? Because they also want to show his glory, the glory of resurrection, to the same land, to the same people, as promised in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. And that's very important. God is faithful. We have to understand that. Now, and then Jesus, the mighty God, also means that he's very powerful. He's much more powerful than the superheroes. And I don't have to preach because you all know the stories. He's mighty enough to overcome the supernatural power. Jesus overcame temptation himself. That means he defeated Satan. Jesus overcame nature. Remember that Jesus calmed the storm? And Jesus can overcome death. He raised up Lazarus from death, and he himself defeated death. And 3 days after the crucifixion, he came back to life. And Jesus is mighty to save. The superhero cannot do. The superhero can take away the immediate threat, but he cannot forgive your sins. Jesus came, and he can forgive our sins because he's God. And Jesus is mighty to heal. Jesus can heal diseases, we know that. And Jesus can also heal your inner hurt, your sorrow, your losses, because he can cast out the demons. He can heal your broken relationship. We can talk more in the future in his name. And very important, because he's a mighty God, he can give us a better future that we can have hope, because Jesus has come to restore the creation. He's come to address the corruption of this world, so that we don't have to rely on everything in this world that what it has to offer. Deep down, we all long for something bigger, greater than what this world has, especially those of you, and when you, after you reach middle age, you look back kind of like, what a life. Squandered all those years, haven't done anything. I don't see any future. Jesus said, your future is not in this world. Much brighter, greater has not come yet. There's always hope. In him, there's always hope because Jesus has come here to establish his kingdom, a kingdom you cannot see here. A kingdom will be much superior than the United States. And that he's coming here to recruit the people for this kingdom, and he's here to help you to get into that kingdom. And Jesus is very, very powerful, more powerful than a superhero in a sense that he can empower us, that he can turn us into superheroes. Wouldn't you like that? If Superman tells you that I can help you to change quickly in a phone booth, I think a lot of guys would be very happy. Right? Guys, you don't have to worry about your wife taking an hour to change in the closet. Right? The Superman said, I can help you to become superheroes too. Because Jesus said he can empower us to overcome temptations by the same way that he overcome. Because the best way to help you is not to just satisfy your need. A lot of time we go to God and say, God, if you do this, I'll be fine. I'm telling you, that's not the right approach. Because for the alcoholic, the biggest problem they have is right now is I need to have a drink. I'm thirsty. By the way, I never knew the term thirsty means that they need to drink alcohol. I said, thirsty? There's water here. No, you understand, you stupid, my friend said. I need a drink, right? For the alcohol, when they're thirsty, they want a drink. Yeah, someone is very, really thirsty. For the alcoholic, when they're thirsty, they need to have a drink. By handing them a bottle of a scotch or whiskey, you can solve the problem at that moment. But you're having solved the root problem. Jesus said, I can help you to overcome temptations. We also can overcome the threats and the worries that have been thrown at you, because as long as you're living in this world, you're going to face all kinds of worries. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. What Paul is telling us, the Apostle Paul, and said, look, people trying to hurt me. I face threats every day, but I am not scared because they cannot inflict real harm in me. They can only scare me, but in Jesus Christ, I am not afraid. You can even persecute me. You can take away my belongings, but my hope is in Jesus. You cannot take away my faith. You cannot take away my hope. Afflicted in every way, but not crushed it. Yes, your professor may be tough. Your job is good. Job conditions is horrible. But I can still find joy in Jesus Christ. Now, that is what you call victorious living. Nobody can take the joy away from you. That is Superman. That is superpower. Jesus can turn every one of us into superhero ourselves. Now, a lot of you, I think most of you are not excited when I'm telling you all this good news because kind of like, we learn all about this. Not too many, I don't see too many of you are excited. You wonder why not? Because sadly, not everyone, I think a lot of people, they cannot benefit from these promises. The promise is given. But a lot of people look at it as kind of like promises. I have not realized any of this benefit. So how can I be excited? Right? Just like some of you, your spouse tells you that, I promise you I love you. He said, yeah, he said that 20 years ago. I have not felt it yet. So you're not going to get excited when he said it to you again. He said, you know I love you. And he said, yeah, you told me already, I don't feel it. You know why that you, a lot of people, including some of the people here, that we cannot, have not and cannot benefit the promises given in Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ already came. The reason for that is, I think, there are two reasons. One is because a lot of people think Jesus Christ is fictional. Just like another superhero character. It's good to think about it, good about to read about it. You can make a movie. It's even better, multimedia. But then you think it's a fairy tale. You don't believe in it. You can ask yourself, how much you believe in it? A lot of people don't believe in it. Let me tell you, and those of you who do not believe in it, they celebrate Jesus at Christmas by other way of having thrills and excitement. So Christmas becomes their party season, a time of festivities, shopping. They buy gifts for one another, and they try to find joy in that way. So Christmas season, we can get to see one another. How nice. Some special music. Things are on sale. So they're enjoying Christmas, the season like this. And Christmas come and go, you'll never truly benefit Jesus Christ. For those people, let me tell you, Jesus is real. He came and he lived among us. It was real. Jesus, he preached to a lot of people and he performed many miracles. That's real. You can go and study it. Not only in the Bible, it's the historical writings. You can see it. Those are real. Jesus predicted persecutions, betrayal against him, and the wrongful killing. And those are all real. Jesus died on the cross. And he said that, I die for your sins. And that is real. It's all, even the Jews don't believe in Jesus Christ that is Messiah. They believe that these are all real because I spoke to the rabbi. He said, I cannot deny it. It's real. It's written there. People saw it. We believe all that. Jesus resurrected after 3 days as he predicted, and that is real too. And something that you can see, they can still see the effect today. Jesus came back after the death, and he empowered his coward disciples. His disciples were just like us. We heard a lot of preaching and teaching, but have no change in their life. Jesus after resurrection, empower his disciples through the Holy Spirit, and they turn the world upside down. All his disciples turn out to be superheroes. All 12 of them. The 12 meaning Paul. They all turn out to be superheroes. They were doing things supernaturally and things that they could never have done it before by themselves. And that is real. And it's still ongoing today, brothers and sisters. Just pay attention. There's a lot of superheroes around you. People who love the people you cannot love. People who sacrifice their life, lay down their livelihood for the sake of the gospel. There's still a lot of superheroes around. Jesus is alive and working. Okay, then some of you will say, okay, believe in it, because I know a lot of you claim you believe in Christmas. Otherwise, most of you would not be sitting here. You'd be out there shopping already. So say, Pastor Donald, I believe. I know. I know it. But you know what? You know it, kind of. You believe it, but you still treat Jesus Christ as fictional. You know what I'm talking about? I know it. I believe in it. But it's all here. Not here. Not in my heart. And not in my actions. We are very capable of receiving some information and leave it right here. And we quarantine it so that it would not have any impact to our life. King Ahaz was a good example. Very good example. God spoke to him. He spoke to God. He has a personal dialogue. He said, God, I believe you. But he still wanted to do his own things. He worshiped God, honored God with his lips, not with his life. God doesn't care about your lip service. What King Ahaz did was he kept idols. One thing was phenomenal that I learned from him when reading the Bible is that after they defeated Israel, he went up to Israel with the Assyrian king to celebrate it's like a triumphal tour. And when he got there, he saw the Israel's temple and altar, and he was impressed. He was, that looks nice. So he made a copy and took it back and gave to his priest and said, let's do something like that. That's cool worship. And his priests follow and make a copy. So they changes the temple worship to copy the pagan worship. I wonder how many people today that we try to copy pagan worship and incorporate into the church, because it makes you feel good. So King Ahaz felt good. When he claimed the worship, he was actually trying to please himself rather than honor God. And then when the problem came, he asked God, he asked Prophet Isaiah, but he never took the advice because you know why? He could not trust God. He had no relationship, so he always relied on his own human wisdom. How many of you tried that? You pray to God and tell him your problem, and God talked to you and say, don't worry about it, let it happen. Or I got another way to help you. But God talked to you different ways, maybe through your Bible study, maybe through your fellowship, brother and sister, maybe through the message. You heard that, but then kind of like, no, I cannot rely on that. I really need this to happen. So you make it happen your own. That's what King Ahaz did. So he did that. He did everything. And guess what? He create more problem for him. So a lot of people today in the church today that you claim that you believe in Jesus Christ, but you are still keeping many idols. Your idols could be something that may not be very obvious. I don't think that you have a man-made wooden golden calf at home, but your idol could be education, could be your social status, could be money, sometimes could be your family. And sometimes could be even ministry. We call it ministry. And a lot of the people today, when we worship, we're not truly worshiping God. We are looking for entertainment. We want good music. We pay a lot of attention on the lighting system, the AV. Our heart is not in honoring God, but to please ourselves. God said, those who honor me, I'll honor him, and those who dishonor me, I'll despise him. And that's what happened to King Ahaz. King Ahaz never realized the blessing from God. In fact, because of his sins, eventually, the whole nation got wiped out. Now, we got to learn from someone else. The reason that they said that King Hezekiah was the promise because King Ahaz's son Hezekiah is a different person. A few things that he did was very good. First of all, he truly honored God. He worshiped God. He cleaned up and removed all the idols from the temple that his father put in there. He reverted the worship back to the biblical worship. When the Assyrian army came, instead of trying to look for outside help, he prayed, and he was promised not to worry. Now, didn't I say that before that God made good on his promise that the Assyrian army got destroyed? It took time when King Hezekiah was the king. There's no way for King Hezekiah to fight this huge army because at the peak time in Jerusalem, the population was only 15,000. When you're surrounded by an army of hundreds of thousands, those of you being in Israel, you know that you are pretty much dead because at that time, this city and town, they're very isolated from one another. So when you have 10,000 people in the town, in the city, and you're surrounded by hundreds of thousands of army, you're pretty much done. But God delivered them. Answer his prayer. And one thing that you all know, that something that is supernatural, God allowed this to happen, also teaching us a lesson, is that when King Hezekiah was about to die, he has a terminal disease because he was pronounced to him that you're going to die soon. He went to God and said, please let me live longer. And God even answered his prayer for that and gave him 15 more years. You all know that story. I cannot make it up. It's a real story. All right? So this all happened in the history. So it's up to us, brothers and sisters. I just want to bring your attention, brother and sister. We are living in a crooked and corrupted world. The Bible said man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. They are chaos. They are evils. They are fears. You all walking here. Some of you, you're coming here with fears. You said, I have very, very high for me to worship. Some of you come in here with hurts, losses, sorrow. It's very normal to face problems and worries. It's just a fact of life. And you probably feel that nobody understands you and help you. Remember, Jesus Christ came to help. He's a wonderful counselor, and he's Almighty God. It's up to you whether you want to take on his help and his strength. We have to honor him and worship him and trust him. So one thing I want to I really urge you that you should do it during this Christmas season. I'm sure you have a list, right? The songs are making a list and checking it twice. You have a shopping list. In addition to your shopping list, next to it, why don't you put together a list of all your idols and sins that you've been committing? Have you done that before? Right? I challenge you, do it next to your shopping list. I mean, does that deserve the equally importance in your life? Next to your shopping list and put it here. These are my idols. These are my sins. Now, let me tell you what is an idol, because you might not be able to see it. If anything is causing you to direct your attention away from God, occupying priority from God, that's an idol. Idol could come in a very attractive form. I need to prepare for my exam. I'm going to skip my prayer. I'm not going to read my Bible. I'm going to skip Sunday worship. That become an idol. If I have a chance to talk to Andrew and Alice, congratulations to your newborn baby, Thomas. But if because of Thomas, that you're going to take away the time that you're going to think about God, worship God, and miss worship service, he become an idol. You follow me? We have different idols in our life. Sin is hard to detect too, because I don't kill, I don't murder, you don't commit inappropriate sexual behavior. But then if you ask the Holy Spirit to search you, you'll be able to put it down. And I advise you that those of you who have a problem to put together your sin list, ask your friend, ask your spouse, ask your family member. They will be very helpful, because people can see your sin much better than you. And then lift everything to God, ask them to cleanse it. And then you start trusting in him. Brothers and sisters, Christmas seasons come and go. I hope that you make this one special, that you can truly find, you can meet the true Savior, that you don't just waste another season. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. And Jesus Christ, we thank you.